Punta po tayo, kunin po natin yung maroon nating hymnal. Punta po tayo sa hymn number 245, hymn number 245, hymn number 245, The Old Account Was Settled. First stanza po tayo sa email po, pang nandyan ha. Awitin po natin, first stanza hanggang last stanza. First stanza po tayo. Okay, first stanza po tayo. There was a time on earth. First stanza, ready? Sing. There was a time on earth when all the world was dead, and all the ground was set.
Baptist Church. Take out your bulletin here today. And our verse of the week is Proverbs 8, verse 36, where the Bible reads, hold on 1 second. Proverbs 8, verse 36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Now, obviously we're not promoting that picture that's on the front. It's just kind of picturing voodoo and all they that hate me love death. But we are a family-integrated church, and children and infants are welcome during the services. We do have a mother baby room back there for your convenience, as well as a ladies' restroom. Men's restroom is up here in front. Remember, no eating during the services. Maintain a professional atmosphere, and keep the children from running and making noise during the church service. The kids are going to have a great day, so they can make lots of noise later on today, but just not during the church service, okay? Just tell them, all this week, you know, my son, we got to do this in Pampanga yesterday, too. But we had all these games and everything at our house, you know, and my son's just wanting to play them. It's like, just wait until Saturday. He tried to bargain with me. Like on Thursday, he said, tomorrow, Dad. It's like, no, Saturday, son, okay, 2 days from now. But anyways, in the middle of your bulletin, our weekly service time is listed. Our first service is at 10 a.m. Then we have a short break in our 11:30 service. And our Wednesday evening Bible study is at 7 p.m. Soul winning time is listed 5 p.m. on Wednesday afternoons. Saturday, we have soul winning 10 to 12 and then 2 to 4. And then Sunday afternoon, we do have soul winning around 2:15 p.m. today. Our goal is to get started early on the soul winning here today, so the second sermon is probably going to be a little bit shorter. And so we'll try to wrap up lunch as quickly as possible. And we're going to go soul winning just nearby, probably for about an hour, because we got a lot of stuff going on here today. And so our salvations are listed there for Manila, Pampanga, Bicol, Hong Kong, Singapore. So great work by all the churches and Bible study fellowships. Birthdays and anniversaries for November, we have quite a lot. And then information for first-time guests. On the next page, our Bible memorization challenge. So chapters 23 through 41. And if you memorize a chapter, you're welcome to get a prize that we have back there. We have either chips or some sort of candy. It's a great, you know, early wedding gift, Brother Marlon, right? Memorize a chapter, give your new bride. I got this for you. I memorized this chapter just for you. But anyways, I'll actually be preaching on Bible memorization for the second service here today. And let's see, upcoming activities. So today is our Children's Day, so that's exciting. So we're going to be having a jump house for the kids, and we're going to be having a lot of different games. So, you know, we're not able to do these things at the mall for the last year and a half, so we're bringing the mall to us here today, right? We're bringing Kidzuna to us, okay? So it's going to be exciting for the kids. Tomorrow we do have a soul-winning marathon on All Saints Day. So I didn't ask. We might have more locations. You know, I'll talk to you after the service, maybe Brother Rafi, if we're doing in Bulacan also. But I know we're going to do in, I don't know, Brother Erman's in charge of this area for the exact area that you guys are going to go here. I know we're doing in Pampanga and Bicol. So, you know, we're going to, obviously it should be pretty receptive, I would say, tomorrow. I know in Pampanga some of the cemeteries are open, but it's like they say only half open. So I don't know if half open means just the dead people are allowed to be there, but not the alive people, or what it means by 50% capacity, how they judge that. But anyways, we'll have soul winning tomorrow for All Saints Day, so it's a busy weekend we got here. Choir practice is going to be the next 3 weeks, and we're going to have a performance on the 28th. We do have our two-year anniversary in Pampanga, if anyone would like to come to that. And then we have a ping pong tournament on our three-year anniversary here. So that's going to be our big event for that day. Obviously, we'll have food and fellowship. And we're only going to have one sermon there for our three-year anniversary, so we're going to have more time for fellowship. And current and upcoming series listed there, information on our group chat. Then on the back, there is a place for sermon notes. So I believe that's it for announcements here today. We'll have Brother Rafi lead us in another song.
Ngayon, kunin po natin yung maroon nating hymnal. Punta po tayo sa hymn number 247, hymn number 247, hymn number 247, Saved
and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he says, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, sing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, if the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love the wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word, for this chapter, for the Bible. Thank you for everyone who's here. Please help us to understand the message and also to apply in our lives so that we can grow in truth and in knowledge and in mercy and grace. And we also pray that you will anoint the preacher and pray in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, we are here in Ephesians chapter 5. The name of the sermon is The Satanic Religion of Voodoo. The Satanic Religion of Voodoo. Now, we are here at All Saints Day, Halloween weekend. You know, different parts of the world celebrate this weekend differently. But pretty much all around the world this weekend, people worship the devil. Right? It's a very common part. And look, that is what All Saints Day is doing. You're calling out to dead spirits. Right, your dead ancestors are either in heaven or hell. There's no in-between ghost world where they're at. So when you're communicating with these spirits of, you think, your ancestors, you're communicating with devils, okay? This is a very satanic weekend. And you know what, in the U.S., they worship, you know, that Halloween is the big thing here. In Mexico, you got the Day of the Dead. You got all these skulls and all these bones and all these things that people, Halloween weekend, he saw all these bones and these skulls, and he's like, what is wrong with the United States? He's like, everyone's possessed, you know, worshiping devils, because when you look at it, that's obviously what they're doing. Now, when it comes to voodoo, kind of the difference is this. As you know, here in the Philippines on November 1st is pretty much when they're calling out to these spirits and kind of worshiping these devils and things like that. In America, it's Halloween, you know, October 31st. In voodoo, it is year-round. Every single day they are worshiping the devil. It's not just once a year where you dress up like the devil and it's fun. It's like year-round they worship the devil, okay? Now, you might think voodoo is very uncommon, right? You've heard of voodoo dolls where people do voodoo curses and things like that. But there are 60 million people in this world where their primary religion is voodoo. 60 million. That puts it behind only Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism. The only other things could be atheism, if you consider that a religion, or Taoism, which is kind of tough to get the numbers, because religions like Taoism and voodoo, they don't just worship one religion, they're welcome to worship multiple religions at once. Now, most people that worship voodoo are usually classified as Catholic. The reason why is because they're Catholic by morning and voodoo by night. Now, I would classify them as voodoo, though, because it's not like voodoo conforms to being Christian, where it's like, yeah, it's kind of bad, but it's kind of Christian. No, no, no. Catholicism just becomes voodoo, okay? So there are 60 million people where this is their primary religion. This is very common in countries in Africa, in Haiti, some of the Caribbean countries. But here in the Philippines, obviously there's a lot of people that are espiritista, right, where they're worshiping and calling out to these spirits. There's, you know, a lot of witch doctors in Albularyo and some of the provinces and things like that. And so it's not like this doesn't exist at all in the Philippines. And you're going to see a lot of links to Catholicism and the Pentecostal religion in this sermon as well. So certainly even under the realm of Christianity or a Christian country, so to speak, there's a lot of pretty similar stuff going on, okay? Now, when it comes to voodoo, we're going to break this into kind of 3 points. Point number one is before getting possessed by spirits, because the goal of a voodoo religious ceremony is to get possessed by spirits. That's what they say their goal is. They're not hiding it. Their goal is to get possessed by spirits. So what we're going to talk about is their method of getting possessed by spirits, what takes place during the possession, and then just some other satanic things that are involved. So this is their goal, to get possessed by spirits. And quite honestly, they have a system that is very effective for getting possessed by devils, okay? So when it comes to getting possessed, before possession, the first thing you do to kind of call out to those spirits is you get drunk and you have a bunch of alcohol at these religious ceremonies. Alcohol is a major part of religious ceremonies when it comes to voodoo. Now, you might think this is very strange, but think about this. There are a lot of religions that don't use alcohol, but they use other drugs, right? Think about native religions where they'll smoke, peyote and things like that. And so basically, there's various drugs they use, and that is actually a method to actually get possessed by spirits. Well, the question is this something that's biblical? Because I'm not just going to preach a sermon and just rail on a religion without any Bible verses. The question is, does this fit with the Bible? Well, notice what it says in Ephesians 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says if you want to get filled with the Spirit, do not drink alcohol. Now, obviously, as a saved person, you're indwelled with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't mean that you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Being filled with the Holy Ghost will give you boldness to do things you would never do in your normal flesh. I mean, think about going soul winning. Isn't soul winning kind of intimidating when you first go? It's pretty scary, right? But you know, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, don't you just have confidence to do things you would never do? People are walking down the street, you're stopping everybody, and it's like, I'm not an outgoing person normally. Probably half this room is not very outgoing, but yet you go soul winning, you get filled with the Spirit, you're doing things you would never do, right? Think about coming up here to preach a sermon. Many people that preach sermons are not naturally outgoing, right? I never considered myself a public speaker, but the thing is, when you get filled with the Spirit, you get boldness to do things that you would never do in your normal flesh. Well, here's the thing. If you get drunk, you have boldness to do things you would never do in your normal flesh, but you do sinful things, right? When people drink alcohol, don't they just do stupid things? People commit all kinds of sins. I mean, rape and murder and getting in fights at bars and stuff like that. People do things they would never do in their normal flesh. Why? Because drinking alcohol will give you boldness to do what's wrong. Now, it does not mention the fact that getting drunk will get you possessed, but that's because this is written to believers. So for us, not drinking alcohol, we can be filled with the Spirit, but the contrary is going to be true, right, for an unbeliever. So if somebody does drink alcohol, they'll get filled with unclean spirits. And isn't it interesting that another name for alcohol is spirits? Isn't that true?
Right.
I mean, the world doesn't even try to hide it. It's like, hey, you want some spirits? Right? I mean, they're literally getting unclean spirits inside of their body. And in voodoo, alcohol is a big part of the ceremonies. You drink alcohol at the beginning. If you ever go to a voodoo ceremony, which I do not do, but if you ever go to a voodoo religious drunken party fest ceremony, right, you're supposed to bring alcohol as an offering to the gods. And not only do they drink alcohol and they bring alcohol, but they spray alcohol into the crowd. Can you imagine having a church service and we're just spraying some sort of drug in the crowd? That's what they literally do in voodoo ceremonies. And alcohol is a method to try to summon the spirits because their goal is to get possessed. And you know what? It's actually biblical because this is what the Bible says in Ephesians 5. Not only that, not only do you have the alcohol, but you also have music and dancing is a large part of getting possessed by unclean spirits, by devils in voodoo. Now, with voodoo, they call these spirits the Loa, okay? It's essentially what we would say with, fallen angels. But in voodoo, they don't think these spirits are necessarily good or bad. They believe your ancestors become spirits, and there's various gods that are more like spirits
And they consider them just kind of these spirits that are out there that are neither good nor bad. But of course, from a biblical standpoint, we know these are fallen angels and devils. These are bad, right? But to them, they're neither good nor bad. But in voodoo, the thing is, you've got to keep the Loa happy. And if they get mad at you, they might cause a natural disaster, right? Like in voodoo, they believe that the earthquakes that have been pretty severe in Haiti were actually caused by the Loa because the Loa were angry. That's what they believe, right? So they believe that even though these Loa aren't good, you better make sure they stay happy with you, which means you better bring some alcohol to a religious ceremony, otherwise they might just curse you, right? Verse 19. Music and dancing. The question is, does this fit with the Bible? Well, I would say the context is not gone with being filled with the Spirit. One method to get filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, we sing hymns at the beginning of a church service because it kind of gets the mood going, doesn't it? It gets you excited. It gets you filled with the Spirit. This is the reason why you see this in the Bible. But see, every religion uses music as a part of their religious ceremonies. Every religion. The difference is, what kind of music do they have? We have psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, right? Now, with voodoo, it's mainly, rock music and a lot of drums is the sort of music they have. And, of course, they have dancing when it comes to voodoo, which is this hip-hop, rock-style dancing. Obviously, very ungodly, what they're doing. But they have basically a lot of drums. Now, we don't have drums at our church service. You say, why don't we have drums? Well, one reason is because all the heathen religions use drums to get possessed by spirits. And you know what? They've mastered their technique. Right? Now, go to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Exodus chapter 32. Now, this might seem strange to you because if you come from a background like, Victory, or I'm assuming CCF also, I've never been to a CCF service, but a lot of church service, because you know what, it's not old-fashioned, it's not the pattern we see in the Bible, and it's something that you see the heathen doing, okay? Exodus 32 gives us an example here in verse 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. So Moses and Joshua are gone. They go up to talk to God for a while. And then all of a sudden, Joshua's like, it sounds like a war broke out in the camp. It sounds like there's a big battle taking place. I mean, we were just gone for a little while. There's a war going on. And he says in verse 18, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery. What does it mean to shout for mastery? It means like if you win a competition, you're like, yes, because you won. Right? You have a race, and then, you get to the finish line first, and you throw your arms up and you scream, shouting for mastery, right? It's not that people are shouting because they got a victory, like they won a battle. Neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome. If somebody's about to kill you with a sword, your natural reaction is to cry out, right? That's just what's going to take place. You're going to scream, ah, right? He's saying it's not that people are winning a battle. It's not that they're losing a battle. But the noise of them that sing do I hear. He's like, oh, it's not a war. They're just singing. It's a song, right? I mean, at first he thought it sounds like a war. Oh, wait a minute. They're singing a song. It's like, that's not an old-fashioned psalm and hymn and spiritual song that I know, right? Now, what type of music is this? Well, I believe the greatest application would be rock and even like a hard rock sort of genre. Because, many of the heavy metal sort of music, you can't understand anything that they're saying. It's just a bunch of noise, right? I mean, it's just, I don't know. I always listen to rock music, but not like that, like the heavy metal where you can't understand anything. It's probably pretty similar to the music that they had in Egypt, right? They probably got a lot of stuff from the ancient music of Egypt, and they kind of took it with them. Verse 19, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And so Moses sees this, and they're worshiping a golden calf. They have the dancing, and Moses is angry, right? I mean, doesn't this make sense that Moses is gone for a little while? I mean, I'm tuning into the Wednesday night live stream, right? You know, this Wednesday, Brother Mateus is preaching, and then he's got a golden calf, and everybody's bowing down, and they're playing like heavy metal music. It's like, what in the world happened in a couple days, right? Now, here's the thing. To understand this, you need to realize that in our church, most people are saved. The vast majority of people are saved. But I don't think that's necessarily the case leaving Egypt, because everybody of a certain ethnicity left Egypt. Does that mean that they were all saved, though? I mean, I'm sure many people were saved, but I think a very high percentage were unsaved. And you see the indication with all the battles Moses has to deal with. Anyway, in this, I mean, worshiping a golden calf, a saved person is not going to push to worship a golden calf. That's going to be coming from some heathen that's not saved that starts that. And then Aaron basically bows down to the pressure of people basically forcing it, right? So there's a lot of unsaved people that are here. And when you're talking about a golden calf and dancing, and in my opinion, the implication is drinking and fornication and real wickedness, I literally believe a lot of people are getting possessed in Exodus 32 because they're doing all the telltale signs of getting possessed. Now, obviously, a saved person's not going to get possessed. But what I'm saying is this, when you're doing this sort of music, this loud music with drums, this rock music that is not the melodious music the Bible mentions, this is a method for getting possessed by devils. And it's a method that voodoo uses. Go to Matthew 6. Now, one of our members in Pampanga, I didn't ask him if I could name his name, so I'm not going to name his name, but he used to be part of a Pentecostal church like a decade ago, a long time ago. And you know what? He was told that, you know, right when you get to the end of a Pentecostal service, he's the one who played the drums. And then the preacher or the people of the church, the leadership would say, all right, we're getting ready to speak in tongues. Start doing the drums. And doing the drums was a method for people to start speaking in tongues. Now, the Bible teaches that when, I mean, voodoo and Pentecostal, it's really the same thing. You're going to see that in this sermon. But when it comes to the Pentecostal religion, when somebody's speaking in tongues, you know what? They're getting possessed by devils if they're actually speaking in tongues. When all of a sudden, basically, they don't know what's going on and they start just saying random stuff that they don't know, they're possessed by devils. That is what the Bible teaches, okay? Isn't it interesting how in Pentecostal, to get possessed, start the drums? In voodoo, the drums are a big part of it, right? Another part of getting possessed is not just the alcohol, not just the music and the dancing, but chanting. They chant the same thing over and over and over and over again. Well, the question is, once again, does this fit with the Bible? And the answer to that would be Buddha. It's A.A. Bomba Hen Hen, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And there's a lot of other stuff that I can't pronounce. I think this is in French. I don't know. But it's like they have this thing, and they keep saying A.A. Bomba Hen Hen. And they're just repeating it over and over again while they're drunk and while they have the dancing and the rock music. And that's a method to summon the spirit. Look, I don't think it's an accident when people get possessed by devils. I don't think just a random person that's 9 years old just happens to get possessed. I believe they do certain things in their life that would basically summon those spirits. Now, it could be because their parents have a certain lifestyle that would attract devils. But, you know, I don't believe the random person that is just a normal person growing up is going to be summoning spirits with the way they're living their lives. There's actually things you can do to do this. Go to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. So one thing they do to get possessed is they drink alcohol and they have a lot of alcohol at the ceremonies. Another thing they do is music and dancing. And when I say music, I'm not saying Amazing Grace. I'm saying like drums and heavy music to summon the spirits. And there's just something about the drums where you're doing this and somehow it summons the spirits, that repetitive sound. You know, I don't know exactly why it works that way, but that is the way it works. That's the pattern you see throughout the Bible, throughout this world with heathen religions. That's what they do. Another thing they do is they chant repetitively, A.A. Bomba Hen Hen, to get possessed. Another thing is they have a lot of blood rituals at voodoo ceremonies. So it's very common in voodoo ceremonies to kill chickens and kill various animals. But blood is a very major thing to try to summon the space to get possessed. Well, the question is, does this fit with the Bible? And the answer to that would be yes. Now, 1 Kings 18 is this very famous story where you have Elijah versus all the false prophets of Baal. And, you know, Elijah's mocking the false prophets of Baal because the false prophets of Baal don't have their gods answering. And then he's like, well, maybe they're in a journey. Maybe they're taking a nap. You know, they're tired. That's why your gods aren't answering. And they get desperate, and what do? They start cutting themselves. 1 Kings 18, verse 28, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. I mean, do you notice that? They're trying to call on their spirits that are not answering, and what do? They cut themselves. Blood, right? Same thing as in voodoo. You say, but Brother Stuckey, you said that in voodoo they kill animals. Well, I posted a video just a couple days ago on my Facebook. Who saw that video? It was like 25 seconds long. In the middle of the video, there's this guy with a couple knives, and he's got all this red soaked. That's his blood. Because if you watch the whole documentary, he stabs himself like 50 times just very slightly to get the blood going. He stabs himself over and over again. All of that red is his blood. Isn't it interesting? That's exactly what you see in 1 Kings 18, verse 28. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun, my friend. Right? I mean, you can look at anything and tie it back to the Bible, and the Bible has the answers. Because in 1 Kings 18, verse 28, they're trying to get a hold of their false spirits. What do? Hey, they're not answering. I mean, we tried getting drunk. We tried doing this endless chanting. We got the music going on. Let's just cut ourselves and bleed, and then they're going to answer. Well, they do the same thing in voodoo. They cut themselves to get a hold of their spirits, to get a hold of these loa, get a hold of these devils. Now, in a voodoo ceremony, the ones wearing white are the ones that are priests or priestesses. So what they say is if you go to a voodoo ceremony, make sure you bring alcohol for the loa, for the gods, and do not wear white. Okay, those are like the two rules. Otherwise, people might get very angry with you. You might be the one bleeding, literally, right? Now, turn in your Bible to Mark 5. Mark 5. Mark 5. 60 million people. That's about 1% of the world's population. That's not including Espiritista, you know, Albulario, witch doctors, and all these other religions that have similar things. 60 million people are pretty much openly worshiping the devil. Now, what's interesting is everybody used to agree that voodoo worshiped the devil. Isn't that true? I mean, voodoo, I mean, it's obvious it's Satan worship. In America, everybody agreed with that, but it's not going to be like that anymore because after the big earthquake in Haiti, the country that's 100% voodoo, all of a sudden they've got all these Satan worshipers that just immigrated to the U.S. And look, I'm all for immigration. It's a good thing, but you know what? The Bible says you don't have a right to just worship whatever you want. You don't have a right to just worship the devil, right? But they're just saying, hey, you can just come in and just worship the devil and just do whatever. And you know what's happening in America is they're starting to go light on voodoo and saying, well, it's just a different religion. It's just a different culture. It's like they were brought up differently. I mean, all roads lead to the same place, right? That's what they're trying to teach now. And you know what? As the world goes on, I think it's going to be the same thing here where you look at that as being no big deal. But it's actually something very satanic and very evil. Those are the methods for getting possessed. Now let's give seven telltale signs that a possession has taken place during the service. Okay? And so when it comes to getting possessed, there have been various, you know, Christian missionaries that have been to Haiti. Whether they were saved or not, I don't necessarily know for all these individual ones. But basically, they made a compilation of seven things that take place during a possession in a Haiti church service or a voodoo church service, religious service, worship service, whatever you want to call it, right? In a voodoo temple, when somebody gets possessed, what are the seven things that take place where you know somebody has gotten possessed? Well, the first thing that takes place is an exchange of personality. So basically, you got these priests that are getting drunk, that are chanting, that are cutting themselves and dancing, and then when they get possessed, all of a sudden it's like they're a different person. This is usually the stuff you see in horror movies, right? Where all of a sudden somebody's there, and then all of a sudden they're a different person. That takes place, and this is what's been documented at voodoo ceremonies, where somebody just becomes a different person. They talk differently, they sound differently, you look at their eyes, and it's this weird satanic thing where it's like they're not there, but they're kind of there, you know. It's an exchange of personality. Well, the question is, do we see this in the Bible? In Mark 5, we have the very famous story of the man possessed by many devils. Notice what it says in Mark 5, verse 7. Mark 5, verse 7. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, when you're reading this story, put yourself in this story. The one who's responding is not the human being, it's the devils. "My name is Legion, for we are many." Right? Something straight out of a horn over the body. All of these spirits have taken over, and when it's responding, it's not the human being that's responding, it's the devils that are responding. "My name is Legion, for we are many." I mean, this is creepy stuff. And this is straight out of the Bible. Now realize something. Some people get this idea that devil possession vanished away when Jesus rose again. Isn't that what some people think? Because don't you see devil possession all throughout the New Testament? People have this idea, oh, it was only around when Jesus was there, and it was not in the Old Testament, it's not today. No, no, it's always been around. Because 1/3 of the angels went with the devil. That's a lot of angels. I don't know the exact number, but it's quite a lot, because the Bible numbers quite a few number of good angels. So we're talking 50 million plus angels, I think was the number, or something like that. We're talking about a lot of angels, a lot of fallen angels, a lot of these devils that are out there, and a religion like voodoo is trying to summon these devils to get possessed during their religious ceremonies. And the first thing we see is this: an exchange of personality takes place. It's exactly what takes place at a voodoo ceremony, is that when somebody gets possessed, the first thing you notice is, oh, it's a different person now. It's not the same person that we were talking to earlier. It's like, you know, what is your, I mean, you go from being mad, it's like, what is your name? Legion, right? All of a sudden, a person has taken over that body. Now look, of course, when you look at a Pentecostal church service, a lot of people fake a lot of that stuff. We understand that. Don't tell me that everyone fakes it, though. When it comes to a voodoo ceremony, do people fake it? I'm sure some people fake it. Because if you fake getting possessed, people are like, that's so cool. You got possessed by this devil, right? You got possessed by this Loa. That's awesome, right? So I'm sure people fake it to fit in at these services. But don't tell me that they're all faking it. Because this has been documented over and over and over again with people that have been to these ceremonies. The first thing that takes place is an exchange of personality during possession. The next thing that takes place is clairvoyance. Clairvoyance. And what clairvoyance means is an ability to know everything, almost like omniscient, where basically they can predict the future. They can know things about you they would never be able to know in their normal state. Right? You look at various people that are psychics. Well, sometimes they're actually able to get information about you they would not normally be able to know. Now, are some faking it? Absolutely. They're not all faking it, though. Sometimes they can get information where you're like, how did they even know that? They have inside information on you and where you're born and all of these things. How did they do that? Because they got possessed by spirits and they had an ability to know things they wouldn't normally know. This is what they've seen at voodoo ceremonies, clairvoyance. It says this from this article: while possessed, many of the Haitians exhibit mediumistic abilities. A mediumistic would be like, or, you know, witch doctor, whatever. Anthropologists have documented cases of possessed persons knowing secrets to which in normal life they would not have had access. Haitian ethnologist Jean Price Mars tells of possessed persons giving predictions and prophecies about the future. Now look, when I was growing up, I used to think all of this stuff was just fake. And maybe some of you think all this stuff is just fake because you see these Pentecostal church services and it's like a joke, all this madness taking place. It's not all fake, because if we believe that there's spirits and there's some scary stuff going on. And the thing is this, the Bible does not tell us a whole lot about the spirit world. I think because it would scare us to death, right? I mean, if the Bible told you all this stuff that's going on, do you really think that's the right dose of information for us? Because I'll tell you what, preparing this sermon, it was just like when I prepared the psychopath sermon. I go down the steps to use the restroom. I turn on my flashlight. I'm looking around the corner. It's like there's no devils here, right? And it's just like, of course I know I'm going to be safe, but it's just like you're reading some of the stuff. It's some scary stuff, right? I don't think that if we were studying this stuff all the time in the Bible, I think it would scare us to death, because we go soul winning and the devil is actively trying to stop us. There's literally devils out there doing whatever. You know, if the Bible gave us great detail about that, it would probably scare us. It's just better knowing the Lord's on our side and pray to God that he's going to help us, right? Because otherwise, this stuff would scare us. It would definitely scare me, right? I'm not going to act like I'm so tough I would never get afraid. This stuff scares me, okay? And here's what it says. The question is, does this fit in the Bible? Well, Mark 5, verse 1. And they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, answer me this question. How is it that this man possessed knows that Jesus is going to be there? Immediately, he meets him coming out of the ship. It's like he knows ahead of time that he's going to be there. Right? I mean, he literally knows that Jesus is going to be there. Now, look, this is not something a normal person would be able to do, but when a man's possessed by many spirits, they apparently have some knowledge of some things that are going to take place. He meets him immediately. The Bible's trying to tell you he's waiting for Jesus. You say, why? Because these devils are trying to stop the work that Jesus is doing, but they know ahead of time what is going to take place. And look, people, I mean, I mentioned this. I don't know if I mentioned it here. I mentioned it in Pampanga recently. But there is this guy who has been knowing exactly where I'm going to be recently. There's this cross-dressing guy in Pampanga. And over the last 3 weeks, I've run into him like 25 times at random places. And it's like I'm going soul winning and he's along the path. He seems to know where I'm going. I go to the LTO office. Well, there he is. It's like, what in the world? It looks like I'm stalking him, but let me promise you, I'm not stalking him. I go to 7-Eleven just to get Four Seasons juice, you know, for my daughter. And then all of a sudden, well, he's inside 7-Eleven. It's like, can I go anywhere without this freak being there, right? This guy who's dressed like a woman, this cross-dresser, and it's like he's there ahead of time. You say, how does that take place? Well, what I believe is just these spirits can have knowledge of stuff that's going on, scare you and mess you up. They try to stop the work of God from going on. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now, I'll say this, that in Mark 5, it's hard for us to fully understand what's going on because, as I said, the Bible doesn't talk about the spirit world quite a bit. My interpretation is this. Basically, the devils meet Jesus because they want to stop the work of Jesus going on. But the words of Jesus Christ basically overpower the devils, and the devils want to get out of there. But the devils don't have the capability of getting out of that man, and I don't know why. But that seems to be the case. They worship Jesus so they can request from Jesus to be cast into some pigs. If they had the ability to leave, they would have just left, right? Why do they have to ask Jesus? Well, apparently they don't have an ability to go in and out as easy as you might normally think. My opinion is when you're looking at people that are, you know, Mankukulam or these mediumistic people, they're ones that actually summon these spirits and cast them in and out of people. Now, I'm not 100% dogmatic on this because, as I said, the Bible doesn't speak about the spirit world that much, so I'm just kind of giving you my opinion, but these devils are not able to leave this man. You would normally think they could just freely leave, but why did they request from Jesus to leave? Well, it seems like they can't. So it seems to me like they meet Jesus to try to stop the work, but they're basically overpowered by the words and they cannot withstand the words of God. Then they want to just get out of there. That is my interpretation. You might look at it differently. I'm not really sure. But what you do see is they seem to have an idea of stuff that's going on ahead of time. Verse 10. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. So these devils ask to be thrown into swine, and then they basically just drown, okay? It's a bit of a strange story. When you're reading that, it's kind of like, what is going on here, right? But look, this is not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. This same sort of thing could happen today. These spirits still exist today. Now, Francis Huxley, which was someone over there in Haiti who was some sort of Christian, he said, you know, Francis Huxley relates isolated instances in which Loa prohibit people from going to church and forbid them to hear the words of the gospel. So over there in Haiti, if you're trying to go to church, oftentimes these possessed people will stop people from going to church. They try to stop the gospel from being preached. This is a real battle that actually takes place, okay? Now, I'm going to give you a story that I've had in my life of somebody that was had some inside knowledge on me that was not a coincidence, okay? I was preaching the gospel in Maryland a long time ago. And you know what? I regularly at my job, I'd have a one-hour lunch break. So I would go out for a walk and try to stop people and preach the gospel. And it was pretty cool because a lot of people that live there in Cumberland, it was kind of a passing through town. So a lot of people didn't live there, but they were just there for the day, walking around with nothing to do. So I'd stop people and preach the gospel. And, you know, you always have confidence when you know I'm never going to see these people again in real life because they live somewhere else, right? So there's nothing in my flesh that makes me scared because I'm never going to see them again, right? Well, I stopped and talked to this one person, and this guy was a Pentecostal. And this guy, during the conversation, he said something, and he didn't outright state it, but he said he had seen things or done things. I said, do you mean that you've spoken in tongues? He says, yes. He's like, I speak in tongues. So I still gave him the gospel. I mean, I can still give him the gospel. Hopefully he gets saved. But obviously, speaking in tongues means you get possessed by spirits if you're actually doing it. Well, I preached the gospel to him. He has trouble with eternal security. And so I'm explaining and explaining and explaining, and I spend extra time. I don't normally go to 1 John 5, but it's kind of like my last chance for the person. So I went to 1 John 5 to give him a last chance. And when I lived in the U.S., I drove a blue car. It was technically an SUV, but I would always say a blue car because I think of car and truck. So I had a blue car, but it's technically an SUV. So I was in 1 John 5, and I asked him, you know, let me show you an example. Let's say I told you I drive a blue car. I said, I drive a blue car. Do you believe me? Because, you know, the Bible says if you don't believe the record, you're calling God a liar. So I said, I'm telling you now, I drive a blue car. Do you believe me? He says, no. I'm thinking, okay, because nobody's ever said no to that question. Everyone just assumes you're telling the truth. I was like, okay. And I went through the gospel for a little while longer, and then he just wasn't getting eternal security, and I wasn't sure if he got it or not, though. I went to Romans 10. I said, do you believe this? That is forever? And he said, no. He's like, I don't believe it's forever. And he said, oh, by the way, you don't drive a blue car. You drive a blue SUV. I know a lot. Then he rode away on his bicycle. I'm thinking, you do know a lot. Like, how do you know I drive a blue SUV? I mean, this is a random person. I'm not anywhere near my car. It's not someone near where I live. This is a random person. And there's someone who told me he spoke in tongues during the conversation, which is a pretty rare thing, right? And he told me, oh, by the way, you don't drive a blue car. You drive a blue SUV. It's like, how does he know that, right? And it's like he had inside information on me. And I'll be honest, when that happened, yeah, I was a little bit creeped out. I'm like looking around like, all right, let's just go back to the office. Let's just get back on Microsoft Excel. I feel safe just typing these numbers or whatever. But it's like, no, I mean, honestly, when you experience stuff like that, it does make you a little bit more shy to preach the gospel because you start seeing people that are possessed that are seemingly stalking you or something like that. It kind of creeps you out, doesn't it? Right? Another thing that takes place, not only do they basically have clairvoyance and an exchange of personality, but they also have superhuman strength is something that takes place during voodoo ceremonies where they have crazy amount of strength that they would not normally have. It talks about in this article, you'd have old men that were climbing trees when they got possessed. It talks about people eating glass. It talks about people that would handle like things that are burning on their hands and it didn't burn them. It talks about all kinds of things. You know, people eating razor blades, putting their hands in boiling oil and taking it out, no pain whatsoever, no marks. I mean, I don't think these are all fake because these are many, many documented cases of these things taking place. This is not some crazy person saying this. You can't put your hand in boiling water and take it out and just, oh, nothing happened. I mean, you've seen those things of people walking on hot burning coals, right? You know how they do that? They're possessed. That's how they do it, right? I mean, unless they're just doing a magic trick, I mean, they're literally possessed is how they're doing it. And look, most of the magicians that are out there, Part of it is a magic trick that they do, and other stuff is literally they use devils to do things that are superhuman, that are not possible.
Right.
This stuff's scary stuff. And look, I'm not an expert at which stuff can be faked and which can't, but I don't believe it's all faked when you see this stuff in the Bible. This is what they see at voodoo ceremonies. Well, the question is, does this fit with the Bible? When somebody gets possessed, do they have superhuman strength? Mark 5, verse 3, "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because they had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." This guy makes Samson look weak, right? He gets chained up with these chains, and he's just like, boom. Can you imagine if there's like 50 of us guys, somebody comes in here who's possessed, and we try to grab him and throw him out. There's like 50 of us, and he's just like throwing us against the wall. I mean, this stuff actually exists. And you know, you read reports of this stuff sometimes, it's not all fake. Now, I'm not saying people never fake this stuff, but I'm saying this actually takes place according to the Bible. When somebody gets possessed, they get superhuman strength that they would not normally have. That's exactly what happens at voodoo ceremonies. I mean, when somebody gets possessed, you better stay away from him because you don't know what he's going to do, right? So another thing that takes place is superhuman strength. Another thing that takes place at voodoo ceremonies is that when somebody gets possessed, they exhibit moral impurity. They do a lot of wicked things. As I said, in voodoo, they don't say that the Loa are good. They get possessed and they start doing some real sins, okay? And this is what he says, Huxley wrote of this. He said, he writes of the sexual megalomania, which seems to characterize many possessions. Possessed persons often have to be restrained from taking off their clothes to go naked. So basically, once somebody gets possessed, they immediately start taking off their clothes. This happens during voodoo ceremonies. Well, the question is, does this fit with the Bible? Mark 5, verse 14. Mark 5, verse 14. "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid." They're saying, wait a minute. He's in his right mind. There's no exchange of personality. And he's wearing clothes. We've never seen this guy wear clothes. And they're afraid that he's wearing clothes. Now, usually you'd be afraid if somebody wasn't wearing clothes. Like, what in the world? Right? What's he want? But they see this man wearing clothes and they're afraid. Why? Because he didn't normally wear clothes. Isn't that the indication? Moral impurity. Well, this is exactly what happens at voodoo ceremonies. Somebody gets possessed, they start immediately just taking off their clothes. Right? Go to Mark chapter 9. Mark 9. Isn't it great that the Bible has all the answers? I mean, you have questions on something, you go right to the Bible if you study it. There's the answers. Right? Now, some of the things that take place in terms of moral impurity, two of their Loa, two of the big eight, one of them is Erzuli. And people that are Catholic voodoo, Erzuli is basically Mary. They call her Mary in Catholicism, you know, like Jesus' mother. And then they say Erzuli. I think that there's a lot of Marys. Don't quote me on that. But I'm pretty sure it's Mary as in Jesus' mother. And Erzuli is the one in voodoo. But Erzuli is a pretty wicked person. Because here's a woman, this devilish woman spirit, who will possess men or women and will sleep with men or women. Bisexual, Erzuli. But see, what takes place at the voodoo ceremony, as I said, you're supposed to make the Loa happy. So if the Loa wants something, you have to give it to them. And if you do not, they're afraid that those will curse you with a tsunami or an earthquake. So basically, if you're in a ceremony and someone gets possessed by Erzuli, and this person possessed by Erzuli decides they want to sleep with you, whether you're a man or a woman, married or not, whether it's same gender or not, you have to go along with it. And if you do not go along with it, everybody else at the ceremony is going to be mad at you because they don't want to get cursed by these Loa. So basically, in voodoo ceremonies, it's very common to have homosexuality, rape, you know, everything you can possibly imagine. Right? I'm not even getting into, I mean, honestly, it's a lot more gruesome than this when it comes to voodoo. This is a disgusting, perverted religion. But it's very common, you know, adultery is taking place, homosexuality at these ceremonies, because when Erzuli possesses someone, you got to just go along with it. Another one is Baron Samedi. Now, I put a picture up a couple days ago on my Facebook. That's the Baron, okay? That's their, devil, their Loa. Got the snake there and everything. Looks like, the skulls and everything. Well, he's very famous. I think he's sort of like the Grim Reaper of voodoo. He kind of deals with the underworld and death and things like that. Well, they know somebody's possessed by the Baron when they start to smoke and curse and eat glass. Those are the things where you know somebody's been possessed by the Baron. And then the Baron is known to just attack women, rape a bunch of women. It's very common. I mean, can you really think of much more of a perverted religion than, to call this even a religion, they're just worshiping the devil. And they literally believe they've got to make these Loa happy, so they do the most perverted and wicked things ever, but that's what they follow. They think, well, if they get mad at us, they might send a tsunami. We got to make them happy. We got to do what they want. Another thing that takes place when it comes to voodoo ceremonies is healing. Healing is a large part of voodoo ceremonies. And so, basically many people will go to Haiti to get healed of an ailment when they can't get healed by normal medicine, just like people would go to a witch doctor. You got a headache you can't get rid of. Well, I tried drinking water. I tried taking aspirin. Let me just go to a devil-possessed person to try to do some weird spell on me. Right? I mean, that's what literally, and people do that in Haiti all the time. It's very common during ceremonies. Now, this kind of goes along with our Pentecostal theme, which we're going to see a lot of links to Pentecostal, because isn't that a major part of Pentecostal services? Getting healed, or supposedly. Another thing that takes place in voodoo ceremonies, you're in Mark 9, is seizures and convulsions. So basically, when somebody gets possessed, they start just, going crazy, right? Now that's certainly Pentecostal, isn't it? They get possessed and then they're just like this, rolling around on the ground. And some of the videos are pretty entertaining because they literally are having, superhuman strength. They're doing some crazy gymnastics, just like flipping around. Like, how do they do that? And I don't know why, but sometimes they're inside of this like brown sack and they're just like going, just rolling around like crazy. And it's like, man, this is some world-class gymnastic ability these people have. But they're just going crazy. Just lose all control. Well, this is what it says from the article. Almost without exception, the beginnings of a Loa possession are marked by trembling, by a kind of frenzy without controls or direction. The person being possessed may stagger, fall, and go into convulsions. Isn't that just like a Pentecostal service? Somebody gets hit. Benny Hinn's got his suit. He takes out his suit and then he just whacks someone. Boom! And then all of a sudden they hit the deck and they're just like, shaking like this. I mean, it's just like, a Benny Hinn service or whatever, right? And I'm sorry, I'm trying to make this interactive. But anyway. All right. It's good I didn't take my tie off because that's a lot harder to do on the spot. Anyways, this seizure gradually wears off and the person has to appear. Finally, the person seems normal except that he or she has completely switched personalities, including perhaps sex or gender. So basically, someone gets possessed, they go crazy, then they get out of it, but they've still changed their personality, and a guy might have just become a girl. So all of a sudden, this guy starts talking like a woman, or a woman starts talking like a guy sometimes when they get possessed. Sometimes possessed persons also exhibit self-destructive tendencies. Loa will cause their horses to rub hot pepper into their eyes. Still others will compel possessed persons to cut themselves with machetes. There's the blood. They'll get people at these services, they get them to cut themselves with machetes, very sharp. That's what, when I lived in Sacramento, that's the method I used to cut down my tree. I'd climb the tree and just use a machete. It's very sharp, right? At times, possessed persons have to be restrained from throwing themselves into deep water. So sometimes people get possessed, they try to kill themselves. Well, the question is, does this fit with the Bible? Well, the answer to that would be yes, it does. Notice Mark 9, verse 20. And they brought him onto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. So basically, the spirit tears him, he hits the deck, and he's like foaming at the mouth, right? This, like, you'd think somebody's having a seizure, or somebody has some major disease or something. And so the spirit just basically hits him, and he hits the deck. I've seen this in person from a Pentecostal preacher that basically touched this kid, and he just hit the deck, and this kid was not faking it. And this kid just gets up and he's just like, oh. I don't know how anyone thinks they're getting healed. Now, what I believe, and this fits with this sermon as well, I believe that sort of preacher is basically has this mediumistic ability where he's casting devils in and out of people. I think that's what's taking place. It's certainly taking place at these voodoo ceremonies. And it says here in verse 21, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So his father says, you know, my son gets possessed and he tries to kill himself. He's jumping in fires. He's jumping in water. Right? I mean, he's foaming at the mouth, having seizures and convulsions. It's like, does this fit with the Bible? It absolutely does. And this takes place many times in voodoo because they have magical healing waters that they go to. And oftentimes what takes place is people just end up drowning because they get possessed and they just dive in and then they die. This is a common thing that takes place at voodoo ceremonies. Go to Mark 5. Mark 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. So what takes place during possession? Well, one thing that takes place is an exchange of personality. Another thing is clairvoyance. Another thing that takes place is superhuman strength, moral impurity, a healing aspect, seizures and convulsions, trying to kill yourself. Lastly, speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. Now, the only difference any religion in the world, any society outside of Christianity calls speaking in tongues glossolalia. But it exists all over the world. The idea that this is a Christian thing is bizarre. It's crazy because this has existed all over the world and the technical definition is glossolalia. That's what the definition came from, you know, psychiatrists that would talk to people and say, man, they lose control of themselves. They gave it the name glossolalia, which is basically what we would know as speaking in tongues with the Pentecostal church. So this occurs when it comes to voodoo ceremonies. Now look, this is not isolated to Christianity, as I said, because Plato, you know the Greek philosopher Plato? Pretty famous, right? He wrote about people speaking in tongues several times. You can go on Google and read about Plato talking about people that would say some pretty amazing things and they'd have no idea what they said. They'd wake up and it's like, oh, really? I didn't have any idea I said that. Now, of course, he doesn't call it speaking in tongues, but it's the same thing. And see, this is where sometimes people get tripped up because the name changes and people say, oh, it never existed. I mean, dinosaurs just started existing in the 19th century. Right? Even though the Bible speaks about, you know, Leviathan, Behemoth, and all that stuff. But it's just like, just because a name is new, doesn't mean it's never existed before. And see, glossolalia was existing in the time of Plato. It's very common in voodoo. It's very common in large parts of India and China and Japan, shamanism. When I preached on Taoism a while ago, I didn't really cover this aspect, but at like a funeral service, one of the big things is calling on your dead ancestors to possess you. People start shaking, and then they start speaking in tongues. Glossolalia. This is a common thing that takes place. It is not just part of Christianity. So look, there are a lot of links between voodoo and Pentecostal. Now, there's also a lot of links between Catholicism and voodoo as well. I mean, think about the holy water. I've been to one Catholic church service because I would not suggest doing this, but I got saved in college, and I told my friend, I said, hey, you come to my church once, I'll come to your church once. I'm never doing that again, okay? But I went to the Catholic service, and I didn't know what to expect. And then all of a sudden, you know, I asked someone, what's this? That's the holy water. I was like, holy water? Like, what? Right? Because it was new to me. It was bizarre, right? And so it's not like there's no links with Catholicism because, I mean, as I said, All Saints Day, I mean, obviously, you're trying to commune with your dead ancestors and dead relatives. It's a lot of hocus pocus and weird stuff. They have exorcisms in Catholic churches, a lot of weird stuff, right? And all of this stuff is demonic. You're dealing with devils and spirits. It's all an evil thing, okay? Now, go to Mark 5, Mark 5. So let us talk about, we talk about things that help you get possessed by devils. Hopefully, you don't try any of this stuff at home. If you're saved, you're not going to get possessed by devils, but at the same time, weird stuff might happen. I don't know. Maybe you'll... I wouldn't mess with it, okay? We talked about what takes place during possession, but let's talk about just briefly some other dark practices or satanic practices with a religion of voodoo. One of the big things is this, that, you know, many times possessions take place at graveyards, okay? So the Baron, when he possesses people, when it's not inside of a voodoo temple, it's oftentimes at graveyards, where basically the baron possesses someone, and then all of a sudden he rapes a woman. It's a complicated trial because the country's voodoo, so it's kind of like innocent, right? I mean, it's reality. Because, and look, it's not just when I'm talking about Haiti. It's like this in a lot of countries where the religion takes power over. Like in India with the caste system, if you're at a high caste, you can do whatever to a lower caste and you get away with it, right? But the question is, does this fit with the Bible of hanging out at graveyards? Well, it does fit. Notice what it says in Mark 5, verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. In verse 5, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs. This guy is just hanging out around dead bodies, just hanging out in the graveyard, right? Look, it's not normal for someone to hang out in a graveyard. Now, I think it's weird enough to do it one day a year, right? And look, you don't have to confess your faults to me. I'm sure many of you on November 1st have tried to make your Catholic relatives happy. Now, I would say it's wrong. You shouldn't do that. But probably many of you have been to graveyards, but this is literally a man who sleeps at a grave, right? He sleeps by a graveyard with a bunch of dead bodies. Isn't that bizarre? Isn't that weird? I mean, there's something creepy about a graveyard. And you know what, during the day, because I've been to graveyards, walked through there and stuff like that, and I'm not saying it's wrong if you have, you know, relative buried to try to remember them and stuff. I would say what the Catholics do is wrong because you're trying to summon dead spirits. You need to understand they've already passed away. They're in heaven or hell forever, okay? But, you know, I'm not saying it's wrong to go to graveyards, but I'll be honest, I would be a little bit creeped out going at nighttime to a graveyard, especially by myself. During the day, it's not that creepy because, you know, near my grandmother, there's a graveyard nearby. We have some relatives there. Even during the day sometimes, I'd get a little bit creeped out. But, you know, you go there at nighttime, be pretty creepy. And here's the thing. I do believe devils will actually be at graveyards because you see this man who's possessed hanging out in a graveyard, just, you know, sleeping next to dead bodies. That's creepy. That's weird. But it's biblical, and this often takes place in voodoo ceremonies that if you're by a graveyard, you better watch out, because if somebody gets possessed by the baron, they might attack you, or you might get possessed by the baron. Of course, they think it's good to get possessed by the baron, so, you know, I don't know what to tell them, right? It's pretty crazy. Go to Leviticus 20. Leviticus 20. Now, when it comes to voodoo, their number one animal is the snake. Their number one animal is the snake. That's the one they revere. It's not just the baron that has the snake. Actually, one of their eight loa that are really famous is Dambala, and his representation is a giant serpent. So if you see a giant serpent, you're like, that's Dambala. Well, isn't it interesting? Because isn't the devil in Genesis 3 depicted as a serpent? The one animal they pick is the snake as their number one animal. Now, I have seen pictures of people wearing this voodoo garb and clothing, and they've got a golden calf on their head, on their hat. I'm not saying that's their number one animal, because their number one animal is a snake, but it's not like the golden calf is a very godly animal either. I mean, it's like that's Exodus 32, and you got these people, and they got literally snakes sometimes in the services, and then all of a sudden they got, you know, the golden calf on the hat. Now, this is another thing with Pentecostal, though, because where I'm from in West Virginia and also in Kentucky, those two states that are border states, you know, snakes can sometimes be part of a Pentecostal service because they look at Mark 16 where they basically can take up serpents and not be harmed. And literally the pastors will have a snake, a poisonous snake that's on top of them, and they're like, you know, throwing it around and everything. And then, of course, sometimes they get bit, and sometimes they die. And there's like a list on Wikipedia of deaths by snakes during Pentecostal services. It's always West Virginia or Kentucky. My home state of West Virginia is like, you know, usually it's Kentucky, though, because it's the southern part of West Virginia, which borders Kentucky. So usually it's Kentucky. But it's like Kentucky, 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 West Virginia, Kentucky, Kentucky. And there's like a couple others. But in a chart of like 60, it's like Kentucky and West Virginia, these Pentecostals that are just playing with snakes. It's like, what is wrong with these people? But is it really that big of a shock when these are people that are getting possessed and speaking in tongues that they have all these dark practices? Another thing is the magical healing water, which I talked about, that takes place. And by the way, with some of the potions they use a lot of You know, blood, as I said, is a big part of the services, and there's a lot of disturbing stuff with this, but, you know, even not the disgusting stuff, just they use human blood, so sometimes they've killed, like, little children as sacrifices, and they use that blood because they think it's necessary for their potions. And this is, I mean, you can go on Google and see this. It'll talk about voodoo deaths, and they'll say, well, it's part of a voodoo, you know, potion. It's their religion, and they believe they have to kill people sometimes. And I'm not saying, and here's where people go wrong. They say, well, they don't really have voodoo dolls, and they don't really do that. Well, number one, when I saw something in the Philippines that had, you know, an albularyo up on a mountain, he said the number one thing he dealt with was uncasting voodoo spells. And it was just a random thing. It had nothing to do with voodoo, I didn't think. But he said the number one things he does is uncast voodoo spells. Voodoo spells are real. People actually do that, okay? Now, not all of them use a voodoo doll and try to curse other people, but just because the few are doing it doesn't mean it doesn't exist in voodoo. It does exist. And here's the thing. You want me to give you a famous person? Papa Doc Lavalier, who used to be the president of Haiti. He was the president when John F. Kennedy died. He claims he killed John F. Kennedy by performing a voodoo curse on him. He basically cursed John F. Kennedy over and over again. Now, I'm not saying he did kill him. What I'm saying is that's a pretty dark and satanic thing to cast a voodoo spell to try to kill a president because U.S. and Haiti were enemies at the time. It's like, this is not fake. They actually do this. I mean, can you imagine if a president died and then your president's like, yeah, you know what, I killed him. It's like, I cast a voodoo spell. That's what he gets for messing with us. That's what Papa Doc, I think Lavalier was his last name, or Duvalier or Lavalier. He said that he cast a voodoo spell and killed John F. Kennedy. Now, as I said, I'm not saying that's why John F. Kennedy died, but this stuff's not completely fake. There is from the World Cup a couple World Cups ago. I think Brother Ehrman can probably back me up on this. I'm not sure if anybody else saw this, but in the crowd, there was this witch doctor from Ghana, right? You remember that, the witch doctor? Did you see that? No? Ah. But there's like this witch doctor in Ghana, and he was like in all of the crowd. They were making a big deal, and he was dressed similar to voodoo, and he cast a spell on Cristiano Ronaldo to give him an injury. Now, Cristiano Ronaldo did get an injury and missed the game. I'm not saying that's why he got injured. I'm just saying there's certainly these people doing these dark arts. It's not fake. It seems funny because it's ridiculous, except the fact that it is real to some degree. So it's actually not just a joke, right? Another thing they have is they have a black cross. They use a cross, but it's black and oftentimes has a snake around it. So obviously satanic. And another thing is, you know, divination, buying animals to cast spells, voodoo dolls. Notice what it says in Leviticus 20, verse 27. Leviticus 20, verse 27. Leviticus 20, verse 27. A man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. So the Bible says those that would basically be dealing with these devils and familiar spirits, you know, mankukulam, wizard, witch doctor, and I don't know all the differences. I mean, there's similarities with a lot of these things, necromancers. The Bible says they get put to death. Now, an application to us, even if you're not dealing with familiar spirits, why are you watching Harry Potter? Why are you watching Twilight? Why are you playing video games with necromancers? This stuff is not something for Christians to mess with. Why are you listening to music and watching movies and watching TV shows that are dealing with these things? It's not a joke. As Christians, we should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. None whatsoever. You say, Brother Stucky, why is it I should not celebrate All Saints Day? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Right. Let me ask you a question. Does going to those graves give you an opportunity to preach the gospel to your Catholic relatives? How many of you have gotten your Catholic relatives saved by going to a graveyard with them? Now, many of you have gotten Catholic relatives saved, but you did that by just preaching the gospel to them. Not basically saying that you accept their religion too by doing some dark and satanic thing. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Look, this is obviously a satanic religion. Let me just give you a couple things in closing. A couple other things is this. Voodoo is a large part of the inspiration for the big rock movement that came in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. Because when you look at voodoo, worldwide, the country of Haiti is the number one country for voodoo. They'll say 70% Catholic, 30% Protestant, 100% voodoo. Or Catholic by morning, voodoo by night. Well, isn't it a pretty big coincidence that the biggest natural disaster in the world during our lifetime was in Haiti in 2010? 300,000 plus people died in an instant. You say, well, that's a lot, but well, wait a minute. The population was less than 10 million. It would be like if we woke up tomorrow and 3.5 million people died. Wouldn't that be pretty crazy? Because their population's not like India or Pakistan. I mean, the population was under 10 million when that earthquake took place. It killed over 300,000 people. That is insane. The biggest earthquake worldwide during our lifetime, because I'm pretty sure it's been the biggest in hundreds of years. I mean, that is a huge amount of people that died at one instance. What's interesting is I wrote this sermon, and then after I wrote this sermon, there's a big earthquake in Haiti just a month ago. And they said it was bigger than the last one. It's just less people died, but just destroyed the country. Well, it seems like God hates voodoo, doesn't it? And see, that's worldwide, but the biggest natural disaster in my lifetime in the U.S. was Hurricane Katrina. Who knows Hurricane Katrina? Pretty famous hurricane. Guess where it hit? Well, it flooded 80% of New Orleans. Well, where's the central part of voodoo in the United States? New Orleans. You say, what does that have to do with rock music? Well, my favorite basketball team growing up was the Utah Jazz. But they haven't always been in Utah. And I mean, because think of the name Utah Jazz. Mormons don't listen to a lot of jazz music, right? Because that's usually associated with people that are African Americans. And Utah's like one of the whitest states. So it's like, why are they the Utah Jazz? Well, they kept that name because they used to be located where? The New Orleans Jazz. And they changed cities, but they kept the last name. Because jazz doesn't fit. Usually they try to fit the last name with what the city's about. Jazz does not fit with Utah, but it fits with New Orleans. And see, the voodoo was very common for basically jump-starting jazz. And then jazz and blues were kind of the introductions that would lead to rock and roll music, because bringing in this heavy drums and everything was something very common coming from Africa. Now, of course, there's nothing new under the sun. I don't believe rock music is just the last 50 years, but here's what you have to understand. The modern explosion really came as a result of that. Obviously, Exodus 32 has something very similar to rock music. If you listen to ancient Assyrian music, it's just like this pounding and drums. I mean, it's pretty similar. But I'm just saying a lot of the modern stuff came from voodoo is where that music comes from. And as I said, here in the U.S., or in the U.S., I should say, after that major earthquake, the United States just decided to bring in a bunch of devil worshipers to their country. Now, look, I'm all for immigration. I don't think there's anything wrong with immigration biblically. But the thing is, you don't have a right to just go and worship whatever God you want according to the Bible. And worshiping the devil was never accepted by God. And I'll tell you what, you know, Hurricane Katrina was bad enough, but now it's like, you know, you might be getting a lot of natural disasters all over the world because God obviously hates a religion that openly worships the devil. I mean, all you have to do is take a look at a picture like this. I mean, Halloween's once a year. All Saints Day is once a year. This is year-round their religion. Isn't that pretty satanic? You didn't need all the verses and sermons and examples and cursing, trying to put John F. Kennedy to death with a voodoo curse and all that stuff. All you have to do is look at the pictures. It's pretty obvious what they're worshiping. It's pretty obvious what they're about. And whether they realize it or not, it's just like in 1 Kings 18, where they're worshiping Baal. Now look, those in 1 Kings 18 were very religious people. I mean, aren't you pretty religious if you're willing to cut yourself for your religion and cause yourself to bleed? They were very religious. They might not have realized they're worshiping the devil, but that's exactly what they were doing. And it's the same thing in voodoo today. Us as Christians have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and getting to see your word on this topic, and help us to stay away from anything related to the dark arts and realize it's not a game. It's not fun. It's not something for us to mess around with or play with. It's something we should have no fellowship and no contact with whatsoever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Kunin po natin yung Tagalog nating hymnal. Punta po tayo sa page number 26. Page number 26, A New Name in Glory. Awitin po natin. First stanza, last stanza. Ready? Sing. I was once a sinner, but I came born into tayo after 10 minutes.